welcome to the Dark Depth Podcast, your go-to place for the modern and legacy formats. I'm one of your hosts, Billy Mitchell, and with me, the Weatherlight Captain himself, Michael Matson. How are you?
I don't know. Mentally and stuff, I'm okay. But to be honest, I feel like I might be getting a little bit sick. Like my throat's a little not ideal. So, I don't know. I'll know tomorrow. Like, if I wake up and I feel good, then retroactively, I'm great. If I wake up tomorrow and I'm sick, then I'm furious right now. And I just don't know it yet.
Cool. Well, you'll figure out live on Twitter tomorrow morning. I'm kidding. Hopefully you don't report. I know with a lot of trends about people reporting their illnesses and not illnesses, but like, you know, like, oh, I had an avocado toast today. So like, I understand there could be a potential for you to also share life updates such as that, but I don't, hopefully you don't do that.
Well, if I am sick, I probably will actually say something on Twitter, right? Since I was at a Magic tournament this weekend and around lots of people. So, I think it's fair to, I guess if it's just like a cold or whatever, then I wouldn't. But if it's like COVID, then that's a different story. And I'll be like, hey, everyone, like, this is the thing that happened. Like, be safe, test, don't, you know, spread.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess that's a responsible move. That's very big of you. Very proud of you.
I mean, I don't think it's really that big, right? It's just like the very simplest thing that anyone could do, right? Like, there's a million more things you could do. Like, I could be like, hey, everyone, like, I don't have the newest dose of the vaccine. So, like, that's already me not being big, which, though, is not me being opposed to it. Very pro-vaccine. I just don't have it yet. Also, like, you know, I didn't wear a mask. So that would have been, like, a small thing I could have actually done. So I really feel like I'm just doing like the littlest possible, which I don't know why I'm arguing that I'm a bad person right now.
But yeah, the worst, to be clear. But yeah, I mean, that's okay. That's good though. It's all about progress, all about making the world a better place one bit at a time. I'm gonna ask you obviously how your weekend is, because I feel like we always do that, part of the rhythm of the show. But I guess outside of playing Magic, how have you been? Just
well, again,
besides sick, obviously. I mean, like,
sick. But outside of that, I've been good. How about you?
Okay, I've been good. I've been trying to keep my wits about me. But I know it's been a kind of a crazy couple of weeks. I'm still trying to catch up on work and stuff like that. I've been getting my butt kicked, so. But I've been having a good time. The girls have been were sick previously. They've been better. So I'm happy to have that. Just trying to, you know, make it all work. I guess we jump into this now. How was Pittsburgh?
Pittsburgh was fun but very disappointing. So I showed up on Friday, able to get my hands on some copies of Spelunking, thanks to a friend of mine, Vic. I don't know if he wanted them back, but I definitely forgot to return them, so hopefully he didn't. But also, they're a common, so, you know, I can't imagine they're actually worth very much.
Probably not.
Yeah, but hopefully he didn't want them back, because I'm not going to... Well, actually, I'm going to see him next week. Thanksgiving's next week, yes? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I see him next Saturday, I guess. Anyways, I'm getting off topic. So Thursday, I played Amulet with Spelunking.
Okay.
You know, stayed true to my word. I said I was going to play it last week. I was overall pretty happy with it. My build, I did feel like I needed more lands. And whenever I told people that, everybody laughed at me like, ha ha ha, Amulet needed more lands. But like, actually, I needed more lands.
Yeah.
I think I played a very undisciplined 61 cards with 31 lands. I might have played 60 with 31 or 30, somewhere around there. But I definitely wanted one more. I played 0 Mycosynth Gardens, because that card is overrated. which does not mean it's bad, to be clear. The card is very powerful, but it is overrated. And I played Castle Garenbrig, which I think I talked about last week, but that was a whole week ago. I can't remember that far back.
Also, that episode was like a hot mess, so you very well may have talked about it, and it might have gotten cut. So we'll assume that you did, and everyone remembers, because it probably happened. Maybe.
But I did like spelunking. I am not like 100% that it's correct, but it definitely did feel strong. I did run into the issue where it was like I often had one amulet and one spelunking, and that felt sort of redundant, but spelunking definitely won me in at least one spot where no other card like would have. Well, I say no other card would have done it. Yeah, no. Legitimately, no other card would have won me in that spot. So, definitely had that come up more than once. It felt good in situations like those. It just felt better than having Amulet a lot of the time because at least it was a cantrip. But I definitely, like I said, regretted not having more lands. So, I want to play around with it and figure out what those numbers look like. This is blasphemous. Part of me almost wonders if you can, like, go down on an amulet. That's probably wrong, but you know, I'm definitely open to talking about things. People have been talking about cutting Dryad. I don't like that. I think I like shaving on copies of the One Ring. But anyways, so I played that. It played very well for me, but I let the deck down. So I started off by beating Scam. By beating Four Color, which was a very interesting start. So I get to my round, and I'm paired against somewhat local player, Robert Cedar. He is, like, a known control mage. He's pretty good. And I'm waiting for him to show up. And I had passed him in the hall. Like, I had seen him. I didn't talk to him, but, like, I know for a fact he's in the room. And I'm just like, where is he? Like, I saw him. And he shows up, like, last second, you know, like, maybe a second after time gets called, maybe right before. I think right before time gets called. But he shows up, and his deck's not sleeved.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so he calls a judge over, and the judge goes to, like, discuss with another judge and comes back and says, okay, like, I can help you sleeve. And Rob is just like, had just already told me what he's playing, which I honestly would have been my first guess anyways. He was like, I'm not worried about like having to do face down. Like, this is like, whatever. It's face up. This is what I'm playing. And like, I helped him sleeve. And he was just like, I'm so glad that I got like a nice judge, like a normal opponent. Who's like not being a jerk about this. That being said, I was like very thrown off because they didn't give him a tardiness game loss, but they were like, "Oh, well, there was an issue at the stage," and I was like, "But was he a part of that?" Like, it wasn't clear to me that he actually had a good reason for being late. And even in his own words, he was like helping somebody else leave and then got distracted. So, it didn't matter, and like I didn't push for a tardiness, but it just like. It felt weird. Also, speaking of weird things, so he had his cards perfect fitted, which is like pretty normal, but you know how most people, they put the perfect fit on so the opening is like on the bottom of the card and then they sleeve so the normal sleeve so the opening is on the top? He sleeves in the same direction, which is just like the most nonsensical thing.
I didn't realize that was like a thing you could do. Like, I didn't know that was legal.
I was like, oh, who does this? Like, what is even the point of this? It's just like, you're a monster, but whatever.
Yeah, I mean.
But we played a very fun two games. I was victorious. And then I played against Scam, and I was victorious. And then I played against Hardened Scales, which is where things start to fall apart. I'm actually against somebody else I know, and I like, don't quite do math right one of the turns, I think, and, like, get blown out by something, but it's fine. Right, like, in game three, I have a grips on things. I get very tunnel visioned and make not the best play. My opponent is hellbent, top deck super lucky to kill me, but, like, I also didn't need to be in that position because, like, I could have, you know, just played tighter. But also, I wrote down the life total and then read it incorrectly. So that play that I tunnel visioned on, the other play I found wasn't even the best play. Like, I just straight up, like, very easily had him dead to just casting Titan, like, getting some Valakuts. I, like, wiped his board and attacked for what, for, like, not lethal. But it was because I thought he was at, like, way more life than he was. Like, he was at, like, 10, and I had him written down at, like, 18, and I dealt 12 damage to his creatures.
Okay.
Instead of just dealing 12 damage to him and winning the match. So that was really tilting to end up losing. And then I went to my next round, definitely tilted, and just, like, ended up conceding when I wasn't dead, like, not even remotely dead. Like, I actually have the win. But my opponent tutors up a hammer. They're on hammer. They tutor up a Colossus hammer. And I just, like, start to pick up my cards and then realize, like, I'm not dead. I just have blockers. Which is, like, it's, like, very obvious, you know? But at this point, my opponent, like, saw me, my initial movement to pick up my cards. And they went, oh, you're conceding. And they had, you know, they were in the middle of searching for the Colossus Hammer. So they just put their hand in their deck and start to back up as I'm, like, saying, no, 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 I'm not conceding. I'm not dead. But, like, now it's a mess. And it's, like, only a mess because it very visibly looked like I was conceding, which was my initial point. Or, like, my initial goal. So it's ruled that I conceded, which... obviously, I don't want, but, like, I don't know. It was my fault, so I lose. And then game two, I don't play around Solitude because I don't think Hammer is on it. And I lose because they have Solitude. But if I had been paying more attention to, like, the Hammer list lately, all of the Hammer list have Solitude. And I'm just, I'm just, like, not used to that. And... so that was a major feel bad. And, like, I could have played around it. I kept, like, I had an extra Grazer in my hand that I could have cast, but I wanted to keep it in hand for Force of Anger. And again, I didn't think Solitude was a concern. And my opponent, in order to kill me, would have to tap out and not have mana to get rid of the Grazer. So
okay.
I punted by just, like, not paying enough attention to decklist, which felt bad. And so it's just, like, really mad. And then I'm like, okay, get your head on straight, beat another four color player. And then I end up losing to Burn. I made a bad judgment. I, like, mulligan to 205 in game one that just, like, doesn't make a play before turn three, and I died on turn three. I win game two, and then game three I made a judgment call that was, like, not correct and got punished for being dumb, which was a good lesson. And it felt kind of bad because the Burn matchup is, like, almost really unlosable.
Like, yeah.
But, you know, sometimes things happen, and I definitely messed up. So that felt bad. But honestly, just round three and four are going to haunt me, like, forever. Round five, or, like, round seven losing sucked, especially when I was, like, I should have won that, and then I'm only one win away from cashing. But, like, three and four were just so brutal.
Yeah, you know, that sucks. I mean, like, that's the one thing I do like about Modern is I really do feel like it's, like, these, like, kind of, like, small decisions and, like, the kind of the knowledge, which obviously, you know, listening to a show like ours would help with. But, you know, you've been focusing a lot on Legacy, so I mean, it's not surprising you might miss something in a list like Hammer.
Yeah. So that was disappointing, but, like, all of my opponents were very nice. And, like, the opponents that I screwed up against were, like, really cool about it, which sounds like a weird thing to say. Like, obviously, they're going to be cool with me messing up in their favor. But like, yeah. You know, like they were very compassionate about it, I guess is the way to put it, which was like really nice. And so Saturday, a big part of me wanted to just like get back out there and like redeem myself in Modern. But I was very committed to playing the CDH event, which was like way too expensive, but that's a different story. So I played CDH, and that was, I have confirmed that I, you know, like I said earlier in the year after Punt City, this was not something I could do on a regular basis. I confirmed that this is not a thing I can do on a regular basis.
It's definitely not for everybody. What confirmed your suspicion?
So round one, I sit down and I am against, I'm at a table where was I going first? I did go first. Lucky me. Like that sounded sarcastic, but like actually very lucky to go first.
Yeah, actually, yeah.
So my person to my left is on Rog'Sai, which for those who don't play CDH, that is like generally one of the fastest decks in the format. It's like, the deck, it wasn't invented by, but has been heavily modified by one Bryant Cook of the Epic Storm. So that should give you an idea of how it functions. So my opponent goes turn one, Mana Crypt, Springleaf Drum, Rograk, Ragavan, pass, no land. So we go around the table, and I have a Force of Vigor in hand, and part of me is like, I can just ruin this dude's whole deck. But I don't think that they can win on their turn. And if I wait, I don't want to pitch the green card that I have in hand to the Ragavan. I drew an Outland Liberator for turn, which I ended up casting, which I could have pitched that. But I was like, I think if I play this, like I'm just not planning to do anything on my turn anyways. And like, if I can keep this thing flipped, like I can just really keep a handle on things. Plus there's another artifact based combo deck at the table. So like, I don't want to use those Force of Vigor until like I actually need it. Plus I also have counter spells in hand.
Okay, so you're pretty good.
So Rog'Sai, our player, like, you know, it gets to their turn. They attack and hit a Mana Vault, which gives them exactly enough to ad nauseam. And I end up having triple interaction spell, and they beat them all and won on turn two.
Wow.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Like, nobody else had interaction, but it was just, like, one of those things where it was like, you messed up by not using the Force earlier. Like, well, yeah, but, like, I didn't think me having, like, that plus two counter spells would, like, not be enough. And also, like, why did the other blue player at the table not have counter spells when, like, he was aware that we were against two fast combo decks? And so it was just like, it was frustrating, but everyone was super nice. Then I won round two, and then round three, I am against, there's an Anala deck, and I don't know Anala at all because, you know, fairly new to the format, don't pay super close attention. So I'm told that it is a fast combo deck. I ask what like the key things interact with are before we start. So I open a hand that has Pyroblast. I assume it's good for stopping that. Plus, I have more interaction, but I need to get to turn two for it to be live. Like, I don't have fast mana, and I need two mana. So, turns out I didn't need to worry about Anala. There was a Korvold player there. The Korvold player killed everyone on turn two before I got to my turn two. Didn't have any interaction, and Anala didn't have interaction, and the other person was non-blue. But, like, this was the round to me that was super frustrating. One, I died before I got my second turn, and our game was 30 minutes.
Oh, gosh, that's awful. Well, yeah, because the Korvold turn, I'm sure, took, like, 20 minutes by itself.
Yeah, I don't know how long it took, but it took a while. And, like, this is not me talking bad about the Korvold player. They seemed very competent. They were moving cards around at a good clip, but it just took a long time. That player, I think they ended up getting 4 wins, which is insane because it was a 5-round event. So, like,
yeah,
yeah, that was
great.
I don't know how they did in, like, the top 16, but they were also just, like I said, about basically all my opponents so far. They were very, very nice. But so one of the players at the table ends up, like, complaining that, like, I didn't have anything. And they're like, oh, like, you can't stop this? Like, you don't have anything? It was like, well, obviously, if I had interaction, I would have done something by this point. Like, that seems very clear that, like, this Korvold, when it went on the stack, wouldn't have resolved if I had interaction, right? Like, I don't... the stack side extortionist they cast probably wouldn't have resolved. Like, I would have done something at some point. Like, why are you still pestering me? And then afterwards, they were, like, complaining that I should have mulliganed and I should know better and blah, blah, blah. But it's like, who are you? And, like, how can you yell at me when you did nothing? Right? Like,
yeah.
You played turn one Esper Sentinel. Like, woohoo, you did it. Like, I don't know. So it was just, like, it was awful. But even, like... And I was like, you know, I wasn't expecting this. Like, you should always expect it to go off on turn 2. And I was like, I don't think that's true. I was like, hey, Korvold player, like, how often do you go off this fast? Like, what's your usual kill? He's like, oh, I'm generally hoping for a turn 3 kill, you know, but pretty consistently turn 4, like, sometimes turn 2, but, like, not that common at all. Mm-hmm. And the other player's just like, oh, no, it's all the time. And he's like, no, I play the deck. It's not all the time. I'm just like,
yeah.
I don't understand how this conversation is happening.
No.
But, like, the Korvold player actually apologized to me afterwards that I was getting yelled at for something, again, that is just not my fault.
Beyond your control. Yeah. That's insane. Yeah, that is one of the things I guess, enjoy about the community in general. I think the CEDH community is very friendly. Most are very accepting and just want to play cool games of Magic, very similar to the way I feel about the Legacy community. I think the Legacy community is fantastic and just wants people to play the format that they love. I do feel like CEDH has a higher proportion of people who are, like, Salt Monsters, but, like, and because they're in a 4-player game, like, they will just, like, salt off at anything that they can. So, yeah, that sucks. That is unfortunate. But also, like, if they're going to complain about you doing that, like, they played a value engine on turn 1. Like, they could have, you know, held up, was it, you know, offer you can't refuse or some nonsense.
Well,
like,
they weren't in blue.
What deck were they on?
They were on Winota. But, like, they could have mulliganed to a Stax piece, you know?
Yes. Yeah, they could have done that and just gotten, like, a, you know, turn 1... Eidolon of Rhetoric and just been like, nope, we're done. Let's hang out for a little bit, guys. But they didn't, so it's insane.
You mean that card that would have stopped all 3 other players?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know you can't mulligan for, like, 1 card, but yeah, they're like, I don't know. You can't keep your 7 and then complain that, like, other people weren't prepared to to stop things.
No. Yeah, and they do play multiple effects. Like, they've Eidolon of Rhetoric, they've got Ellisborn Canonist, they have Phyrexian Censor, they have Archon of Myria. Like, that's at least 4 that I can think of off the top of my head. Like, they had things they could have done that they saw everyone's trying to combo off. Like, that's on them. One of the things, if you are interested in getting the format, which we're doing a great job selling it, one of my favorite CDH content creators, Moderately Anonymous, does a really good point of kind of bringing this up from time to time. It's like, you are going to lose a number of games because you mulligan very, very poorly, and there is going to be a number of games that you keep gas hands and you just, like, tap out on turn 1 and then you die on turn 2, and, like, you just have to be okay with that, or you have to hold up interaction. But, like, once again, you can't complain about it. Like, this is just the way the format goes. So I don't know, that is definitely frustrating.
Yeah, but, you know, it is what it is. Round 4, I was able to get another win, and it was funny. I cast a mana drain on a Prosh,
okay.
Not actually even, like, remembering that Prosh is a cast trigger, so my opponent still got all the dudes, and, like, after I cast it, like, you know, I'm feeling feeling good. And they're like, okay, the trigger still resolves. I was like, oh, I didn't realize it was a cash trigger. And, you know, my prosh player, the prosh player was so friendly. He was just like, you know, like, do you want to take it back? Like, nothing's happened. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no, like, I was like, I can't take that back.
Yeah.
And they're like, somebody else was like, well, besides, six mana can't be bad, right? I was like, I actually have no plans for this.
Yeah.
But like, I untapped, and I can't remember if I already had it and just like actually thought, or if I drew Finale of Devastation. Ooh, okay. So I got a Seedborn Muse, and I played a Thrasios. And so I just, and then I like had a couple creatures, played like a Relic of Legends, Crop Rotation for Gaia's Cradle. So I drew 9 cards before my next turn. And then I won. It was crazy how that happened, you know?
So weird. Yeah.
I don't... Okay, so I didn't draw 9 cards, but I, like, put, like, 3 lands into play and, like, drew, like, 5 cards and left up counter magic on everybody's turn. And then, like...
Yeah, and still have Thieborn Mew, so you're just, like...
Yeah.
Drawing, but, yeah, you're good.
So, I don't know. It turns out when you just, like, Thieborn Mews plus 10 mana in a draw engine... You do good things.
Pretty fun.
I don't know. New to the format. So, like, maybe I could be wrong, but I think I'm onto something.
Yeah. I think I definitely delve into that idea a little bit more.
So, that was fun. And that was actually in a pod with somebody who used to be a local player who I haven't seen in a while. So, shout out to CJ from Wintuition, new CDH YouTube channel. So, we'll give them the free plug. And
cool.
So that was fun. It was funny. One of my opponents was like, you know, I think you two are working together. And it's like, no. Like, they're like, yeah, but like, you're friends and like, you're not like stopping. I was like, I haven't seen this man in like 6 years. Like, I don't. Like, yes, I know each other and it's cool. It's cool to see him. But like,
yeah,
we're not. We're not, like, best friends, like, coming to get you. But, you know, the other thing that was sick about that game was I had a Fairy Mastermind out against double Mystic Remora.
Oh, yeah.
So I got to actually, like, keep up with the Remora players. So going into the last round, I actually have enough wins where I can draw in. But I got paired down, and then I tried to navigate the conversation. But nobody in my pod understood what I was doing, and everybody thought I was being a dick. So I became the enemy from turn one. It was like, I don't think I was the correct target. And I was like trying to be friendly. Things got hostile to the point where like one of the players even called me a dick, even though like,
wow.
Yeah, I was just like one of the players was thinking about pointing something at me, and I was like, I don't think that's a good idea, because I think if I die, then the player to my left kills the table. And the player to my left called me a dick. And I was like, he's been bleeding his hand the whole time. I was like, it's very bad sportsmanship for me to just tell you what's in his hand, so I'm not going to. But I was like, I think if I disappear from this game, he wins. And like, to call me a dick when I'm like, hey, I'm not going to give away information about you seems like a little bit much. But the head judge even came over and, like, watched our game to, because, and he told me afterwards, he was like, yeah, they were being really mean to you, so I stood there so they would stop. He was like, but then they just bullied you with their creatures. Sorry about that. But it is what it is. Overall, like, this sounds so terrible to say, but, like, I had fun in the games I won. And the games I lost were kind of trash. But like,
sure. Yeah.
But it's like, you know, of the games I lost, I got to turn 2 in one of them. I got to turn 1 in one of them. And I got teamed up on. So it's just like, none of that was enjoyable. And like, it's not necessarily that I won that made the other games enjoyable. But yeah. So my issues that I had, though, with this event were a lot of downtime. Of downtime. Like, I barely got to play Magic for the day, it felt like. And then, SCG doesn't use, like, God, what is it that Eminence used?
Oh, Command Tower?
Yeah. And I think Command Tower is actually excellent software. So if you are going to a CDH event, I would definitely go to one that's using Command Tower. SCG like told us where to sit, but then you had to roll for first. Like you had to roll for, which is just like not good because the delta and win rates between first and fourth place is so high that just like having it be random is super punishing. So I don't like that. And then also SCG wasn't transparent about how tiebreakers work. And so before the last round, I asked a judge how tiebreakers work. They were like, I think it works like this. And I was like, hey, that's like I don't want to be mean, but that's not good enough. Like, can I get an actual answer? So he went to go ask and then like came back and was like, so apparently it's proprietary and we cannot tell you. I was just like, well, that's dumb. And like looking at the pairings, it was just like tiebreakers, 10.07, 11.04, 9.06. And I was like, what does that mean? because like in the last round, like I said, I was trying to like navigate the, you know, the last round conversation, and my guess was that nobody else at my table could top 16, which they don't owe me anything, but like it's one of those things where it's like, hey, maybe you concede to me, you assume that like I will be thankful and give you something later, but it's like I can't even say for certain that like they won't make it because I don't understand what these tiebreakers mean, and I can just guess by how big the number difference is. And the person who won that table did end up making it, but like they got eighth, and I believe the tiebreakers between them and ninth were very small. So like just one thing going different and like nobody from our final table makes it.
Yeah. Jeez. That is one of the things it's going back to the idea of the Command Tower. So the Eminence team, one of the guys on there team is a programmer, so he made his own custom software. They're actually selling it as a product now, so if you are like a local store or you just want to try it out, you can buy it, use the software, run your own event. You don't have to be an LGS or anything like that. You just have to pay for the software, and it does hold a large number of players. I think I think it was at Atlanta, they had an 8K, and it held all hundreds of those players perfectly fine. So it is good functional software. It's most of the information on it is public, which is good. So the idea of being like proprietary software at this point is just kind of like, come on guys, you know what's happening here. It's whatever. I mean, that's their own deal. This event was the 8K was 205 people, I think.
I thought it was 244.
It might be. I'm looking at it on the EDH Top 16.
Okay, so you're probably right.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, you could be right too. They might just be like missing deck list, but yeah. I mean, either way, it's still like it's really good that the people are getting into running it more. I saw, I guess, looking at some upcoming events that are going to happen next month. There are some more like CDH events showing up at other high visibility events. So I mean, hopefully people get more into the format. And I'm glad you tried it again. I mean, I know it was not a terrible experience, but not a great experience, which I feel like is kind of like the sweet spot. But
yeah, I think where I'm at is if I'm playing with friends, I would rather play CDH. But if I'm playing in an event, I would rather play Modern or Legacy.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I still think the gameplay is so unique that I think it does make it like an interesting thing that I think people should definitely try. But yeah, this tournament, and this, I guess, to your credit, this happened the opposite to me. When I played my last CDH event, I was third to last table or the last table in every single round. Like it was, I played Magic for basically, 9 hours straight, and it was like exhausting. And that obviously happens sometimes too, but like it's very funny that some people have a day where like you said, I barely played Magic, and I have a day where I'm like, I have not stopped playing Magic. It definitely needs some kind of middle ground, and I do think it honestly is just people taking up a majority of the clock, but sometimes they do things where it's like, I'm gonna resolve 105 triggers, so, like, let me do this real quick. Oh, gosh, that was 20 minutes? Oh, my bad. Pass. So,
yeah.
I don't know if there's a way to fix it.
The one last thing about CDH that was funny was the round timers were 75 minutes, which was, you know, nice after the 90 minutes at Punt City. So at least they were a little bit shorter. Still, you know, I was sitting around for like an hour every round. But the SCG timer cannot handle being above 60.
Oh, no. Okay, cool.
So round one, the timer counts to zero, and I'm like, okay, time to head back over. And then it was like, they counted up to 15. Mm. And then they're like, timing the round. But then they decided that was too confusing. So the next round, they didn't start the timer, which to me was confusing.
Even worse, yeah.
So they waited 15 minutes into the round and then start the timer from 60. And that was how they did it for the rest of the day, which I do think is a much better system than the initial. But, like, it just felt like, I was like, is there not a way to do this? And I, like, asked the head judge about it. He was like, I know it seems like there should be, but, like, there's not. It's surprisingly difficult to have run a timer. And I was just like, I don't even know computers, and I feel like I could make this happen. But, like, I assume SCG, like, this huge company that's worth however much money knows what they're talking about.
Okay, now I'm going to go to google.com. I'm going to type in 75-minute timer. And lo and behold, I get a 75-minute timer that fits on a screen. It's so...
No, I promise you, it doesn't fit on that screen.
Oh, okay. Okay, so it doesn't fit on screen. I'm wrong. I'm just looking at the time ticking down. But I'm wrong. I'm clearly wrong. Once again, I'm sure there's something I'm missing, but...
Yeah, I think it probably has to do with having it so it's synced up on multiple computers.
Yeah. But that seems like a... And I could be wrong, I guess, but, like, that just seems like something that they run into the problem one time and they're like, okay, we need to fix this now. And then they fix it, and then they're done. Like, my sense of programming is not expert level, but I know there are people in the Magic community who are expert level programmers, and I'm sure they could probably figure that out if you really needed that done.
Yeah.
But,
and, like, I don't know, Melee has a countdown on it, and Companion has a countdown on it, so I just, I feel like it should have existed. But that's enough about CDH. So,
yeah.
Moving on to Legacy, the format that I was the most prepared for, and yet somehow did the worst in.
oh, no.
You know, I often talk about how strong mulligans are. I mean, you've heard me talk about it.
They're OP, yeah.
And, you know when they're not good? When it's every hand, multiple times per hand. I did not keep a single 7. I believe my average hand size to start the game was somewhere around 4.5. Yes. In round one, I could have kept my 7. It's in the dark. My hand is like turn 1 Archon. My follow-up is going to be, like, turn 3, Seasoned Engineer. Assuming I, like, don't draw lands or whatever. No Cavernous Souls, so both of these spells are counterable. And I'm just like, that's not a very strong hand, because, like, if they just have Lightning Bolt into Force of Will, or, like, Lightning Bolt into Swords into Guy, or... I mean, no deck is playing Lightning Bolt and Swords right now, but, like...
Dave even would be bad.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, Seasoned Engineer on 3 is, like, not quick enough. But you can't just, like, I don't know. If I'm playing it on 2 and then Archon on 3, like, that's also not good enough, because if they just, like, force the Dungeoneer and then my first play that impacts the board is turn 3 Archon, like, that sucks. So I mulligan this hand. My opponent ends up being a Mystic Forge combo, so if I just win, like, turn 1 Archon, game 1...
The game's over.
Yeah, like, they can beat it with Urza Saga, but, like, the chances of me losing that game are so small. And they also didn't have Urza Saga that game, so, like, that felt bad. It just, like, multi Oblivion every game. And then the next game, next match I was against,
I was against
Absanth Apps, and I mulled Oblivion every game. Game three, I actually keep a... Like, I mull low, but I have a strong hand where I just have threat, threat, threat. My opponent goes... like, I go, like, turn one guy. My opponent goes turn one Mox Diamond, Shieldred's Edict. I go turn two guy. They go swords. I go, like, turn three guy. They go swords. I don't do anything. They top deck a creature. Or they top deck Outland Liberator. I don't do anything. Outland Liberator flips and blows up my land. Or, like, oh, not my land, but, like, my mana.
Yeah.
Then I top deck a creature that I can no longer play. And then they blow up my other my other mana.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, the game's done. So that was really frustrating. But they asked, like, oh, like, do you think this hand was capable? I was like, well, no, because, like, if I just draw an Ancient Tomb, there's, like, a five-turn window where if I draw Ancient Tomb, like, I win. But instead I draw uncastable spells. And then I lost to Oops All Spells, because in game three, I mulliganed all the way down to three without seeing an Archon in an opening hand on the play.
Reasonable.
And then I dropped.
fair, fair.
I was... like, part of me was like, I kind of want to keep playing and, like, you know, but just for fun. But I was dead for any sort of prize. And also, like, if I mulliganed again, like, you know, I might have gone insane. So I dropped and, like, did nothing for a bit, like, went with my friends to lunch. And then I played pre-release and... I won't go into Sealed at all, but I will say I had a lot of fun. And the one card I do want to mention is, have you seen the Millennium Calendar?
Yeah. That's like the one mana at the counter for every time you untap something during your untap step.
Yes.
And you get like 1,000, which it feels like that's impossible to get 1,000 counters. But like that seems like a cool thing to be able to maybe do.
So it's also you can pay 2 and tap it to double the number of counters on it.
Oh, right, yeah.
So I opened one up. I said, I don't think it's right for this to be in my deck, but this is what pre-releases are for. And sure enough, I got to kill someone with it. And I am just like, you know, I'm still kind of riding that high a little bit.
That's pretty cool. That is, yeah. How many turns did it take you to win with it?
I don't remember. I mean, the math is it should take around like 8 turns if you're activating it every time. So it probably took like 9-ish. I don't know. There was a bit of a stall. I don't know. It gets easier if you have more permanents when you start. And like I had, I had like a creature that tapped to deal damage, which like the damage wasn't fast enough, but like having one more thing be tapped like might have been relevant. I don't actually remember. But like we just kind of got into this board stall where it's like, okay, well you can't really attack enemy because I'll eat your stuff and then like kill you on the crackback. But, like, I can't do the same thing to you either. But, like, if we just sit here every turn, I get closer to 1,000.
To winning the game. Yeah. That's really funny. Yeah, I mean, that is cool. I going back real quick to the Legacy event, shout out to Bistecki, who is just really cool, for winning the event. I think that's really cool. But also, shout out to Chris Reinhardt, ended up having a pretty solid finish on Cradle Control, which I feel like this is like there are a lot of really not I don't say like that's an interesting deck, but just a lot of like really solid players in the top end of this event. A lot of 4 color control, but definitely some really strong finishes by people who are pretty cool. So
yeah, definitely a very good top 8. Actually, all the top 8s, like the modern top 8s were like pretty cool too. Also, like what a monster with Travis Brown just like winning both.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, is his last name right? I'm not making that up.
Yeah. Travis Brown. Yeah. He is, a disgruntled elk on, MTGO and I think Twitter, but
he's the reason my opponent had Solitude.
What a monster. No, yeah, if you are someone who is interested in playing Hammer, just in any way, sense, or form, obviously you should be checking out Travis Brown on Twitter. pretty good follow. Also, Steve Stillman, can we shout out Steve as well? Steve had a really monster weekend.
Yeah. Had, playing Scam, a deck he doesn't even like.
Doesn't even like it. Yeah, ended up top eighting the 5K and the 10K on Friday and Saturday, respectively, and had a middling finish on Sunday, but we'll forgive after a dominating weekend on the first 2 days. So, yeah, it's really, really cool.
Yeah. So, have you actually looked at the deck Buseki won with?
I did. Let me go back to it real quick. It is, I mean, it's not super crazy. I'm looking through it. I mean, like, you've got, it's four color control. So you got Uro, Orchestra Master, and Murktide Regent. The removal, I actually like a lot. I mean, you got a couple copies of Prismatic Ending, full set of Swords to Plowshare, and Leyline Binding. So I feel like you can get basically rid of everything. And you're drawing a billion cards, so you get to play the four forces and two force negations, which is pretty sweet. Like, it just looks like a deck that eventually will kill you with an Uro. But it is a deck full of magic cards, I feel like.
Yeah, no, I do like the list, though. I am a fan of playing Up the Beanstalk with Murktide. Well, I'm a fan of playing Up the Beanstalk in general. But, you know, getting to play it with Murktide Regent, something, even though I don't like Murktide Regent, something about that just, like, feels good.
Well, it's like, you're actually, like, Leyline Binding, I think, hits the same kind of vein where it's just, like, this card is definitely reduced, and that's what makes it good, but, like, the fact you actually get to draw a card off of making a giant 8/8 dragon feels really nice. Also, removing, like, you know, permanently removing a Blood Moon in your four-color deck, and also somehow drawing a card off, it also feels kind of insane.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think this deck is super solid. It's definitely one of the ones I need to test at least before Eternal Weekend. Definitely a couple decks on my short list. And I know we do have Eternal Weekend, I guess. Is that Prague this weekend? Before we eventually get Eternal Weekend North America, which now we have a full schedule for.
Woo-woo.
Shout out Card Titan. I do want to acknowledge that it did take a while, but I am happy that they are here. I don't want to sound not grateful. I just wanted to acknowledge that it was a very long time before we were able to actually, you know, buy. Or, you know, not buy. We could buy everything, but, like, I really, really wanted to be able to get in and look at my schedule and try to figure out what I wanted to do. And, you know, had we known when certain events were, I think our plans would have changed. But, you know, now we're, like, 3 or so weeks away. Like, we are kind of locked in already with limited information. But
yes.
Yeah. But I guess before we get too far away from the SCG event, is this initiative, I'm assuming, is still one of your top runners for Eternal Weekend?
Absolutely. I don't know. Yeah. I had a bad weekend, but I think it's a fluke. There are other decks I do want to look at, though. Like, I don't know if you looked at Brian Koval's 9th place deck list.
Oh, I just assumed it was the same as Besteki's. He wasn't playing 4-color control also?
So he was playing 4-color control, but his list is different. He is playing 3 Triumph of St. Catherine, a card that I am quite fond of, honestly, even though I constantly forget to order my own. Not even expensive, I just literally never remember.
Yeah, I feel you.
But this deck list looks good, and I know Brian said he wasn't feeling well on Sunday, and, you know, he's obviously a very good Magic player, so seeing him do well is just, like, it's actually just expected at this point. Like, it's not even that it's not surprising, it's, like, actually surprising if he doesn't do well. But, you know, him doing well while not feeling great is definitely something to draw eyes to it. And I think Triumph with Up the Beanstalk is, like, incredibly powerful. Like, when you get to play 2 mana for, like, your 5/5 lifelinker, it's pretty weak against Swords to Plowshares Mirrors. But against Delver, I think the card is really good. And against most things that don't have swords, the card is just, like, a crazy quick clock. So I'm kind of interested in trying that list out. I will definitely be trying Nidadapps with Legolas's quick reflexes. I don't expect to be like super excited by that card, but trying it out doesn't hurt. I do think it probably makes the initiative matchup much better, which is nice. And, you know, the deck's already, you know, it's not like it's a bad deck. Like, it's still a very good deck. Gaddock Teague is insanely well-positioned right now. So, like, I might try it with a higher number of those. By higher number, I probably mean two, because I think, I don't know, you know, it's playing more than that is crazy, but just, like, it is a very strong plan against control decks, especially as they move towards a Leyline Bindings. It's like, okay, well, you can't play that. You can't play your Force Wills. You can't play your Terminuses. You can't play your Fourth Along Races. So I definitely want to put some work back into that. And frequently talked about on the cast, Allie has been playing like this... Bant lands type deck. He's been calling Reclaimer Loom, and I don't know, he's casting Slowgurks and he's casting Growth Spirals, and I don't know if it's good.
Awesome.
But it is incredibly up my alley, so I want to try that. I do have to balance all of this out with the desire to play limited with also like the need to get ready for Pioneer. There's a lot. There's a streamer I like who's been playing like some Agatha Soul Cauldron decks with like Urza and Emery, so I want to try that out too.
Oh. Okay.
I feel bad all the time saying this. So it's Bailey BCS. I want to say 9-5. I always say he's a streamer I like, but like I never actually catch his streams. The name is brutal.
Yeah.
but I follow him on Twitter, and every deck list he posts, like, he's one of my favorite people that I follow. I just, I'm just not around when he streams. He streams at, like, a terrible time for me.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of how I feel about Kenji. Like, I assume Kenji still streams. I stopped following, getting the alerts from Kenji, because I literally can never actually... listen or watch the streams. I used to do them all at work, but now that I teach during the day, I can't ever watch them. So, yeah, I definitely feel the pain.
Yeah. So it's BCS8995 on Twitter. His Twitch handle is similar, but with more nines. but yeah, I'm just like looking at the list again, and it's just, I don't know. It's got, like, combos with Phyrexian Devourer and Agatha's Soul Cauldron, and I don't know. It seems sweet, and I know he's gotten a couple trophies, so I definitely want to try that out. I'm a sucker for Artifact decks, and, like, Turbo Muxus also looks really good to me, even though did not put up any numbers at this SCG.
No, but I also don't know how popular that deck is in paper. That's, like, one of those things there are a lot of things you could be doing, and I just don't... I know some people are coming to play that deck. I just don't know how popular it is compared to something like a four-color control or, like, a Grixis Delver. Like, I always think that Grixis Delver and, like, those types of decks take up so much of the extra room in the deck... In the room... Sorry, extra deck selection in the room. There we are. That even if I do think the Muxus deck actually is a really solid deck right now. I think it does something really powerful, and being heavy on the creatures means that you get to, you know, punch people in the face without having to worry about things like Force of Negation. It is just a deck that people just don't have access to, and people don't play when given the opportunity. So definitely a good deck to play. Just, you know, I don't think there's enough pilots.
Yeah, I just looked through all the list real quick, and the deck was just, like, not played in this event.
Yeah. So, it's not... I'm not surprised, unfortunately. That is... There's a couple other decks, too. Like, I think, like, the mono-green... what's it called? Cloud Post, 8-Post, 12-Post, 10-Post, whatever it's called. A Billion Post, that deck is another one that I feel like should probably see more play relative to how popular it is.
I... I know I mentioned that I was playing that deck not too long ago. I do think that might actually be a good choice too.
Yeah.
Are you free Saturday?
Am I free? I've got a wedding, but like,
so that's in the evening. Are you free in the morning?
Afternoon. I am free. Like early morning. Yes. Afternoon is kind of dicey.
That's unfortunate. I was going to say we should actually play some of these matchups that I would like to learn about.
We can't. We can do it early. That's fine.
Yeah, but if we did it midday, we could like stream it. People could watch. It could be good content, you know.
Oh, we could. I mean, we could still like record it and then like.
No, you ruined it.
We could.
Listeners, let him know how mad at him you are.
Get in the comments. Tell Billy what a jerk he is.
But yeah, I mean, I think if 12 post is good against scam, which I believe might be the case. There's so much control around. Like, I do think you're right. I think that deck is pretty strong. I also feel like specific combo decks are probably good right now because, like, the control decks seem terrible against combo. But again, like, scam is kind of a bully. Although, not very much scam in this event. And I do wonder how much Eternal Weekend will mirror this event because, you know, they're in the same building. A month, not even a full month apart from one another. The big difference is, you know, I think you'll get more people. I mean, you'll definitely get more people traveling to Eternal Weekend, right? Like, it is the, I don't know, the holy grail of Legacy tournaments in the U.S. every year. There's already 600-something people signed up for it, which is way more players than this event had. But presumably, people's minds will be in the same place.
Yeah, I think there's going to be... just because, okay, so right now, and I guess this is... Keeping in mind, I just want to say this now because we are going to say things that touch on this the whole time. I specifically am talking about the metagame in the United States. I know other places have different metagames that are slightly different one way or the other, but generally they have trends that apply to them as well. But we are not talking about what's going to happen at Prague. I have no idea. I don't know the European legacy metagame.
Probably more control than here.
Probably more control. So maybe 12 post is the better choice over there. But I legitimately have no input on that. I am focusing just on North American Eternal Weekend. I think that there are, regardless of what happens, like, I think that Grixis Delver, not Shadow, I don't think Shadow's great right now, but I do think, like, the Blue Box Scam, I think that Initiative, and I think the Four Color Control decks will be the four most popular decks at the event in a month, or, you know, whatever it is now. So, I know I don't like... I was actually playing Initiative a lot. By the way, I don't think you told me that the leagues take, like, an hour. That's insane. I think I played... I'm gonna guess probably, like, 12 leagues, I think, this past weekend. Which was nutty, but... yeah, I mean, being able to run through... and get a bunch of games in with the deck. Like, I really do like a lot of the matchups. The Delver matchup definitely worries me, though. There's definitely some games where they get blown out, and a lot of games where I feel like I get wastelanded or dazed or Force of Will into Oblivion. But I have never liked the matchup of being on Scam or being on Delver, just Delver in general, and playing against 12 Host. I just feel that matchup has been historically awful for me. The number of times I feel like I've gotten top deck, you know, the One Ring, or I've Surgical Extractioned the Cloud Post and I still die to them just having a ton of mana. It just happens a lot. Like, the deck is very, very good at dealing with Delver Secrets, and the fact they have Cavern of Souls to make that Primeval Titan uncounterable is just extra salt. So I really do like, if this, once again, assuming the matchups actually stay pretty consistent, and we don't see any huge changes. I know Lost Caves of Ixalan came out this last weekend. That has to be a good choice. I just can't imagine it not being a good choice.
Yeah. Like I said, definitely want to work on it. I'm still also just very curious if Spelunking is anything in that deck.
I love that name. I don't know. I mean, it can't be super terrible, but I also don't know if you care about the lands coming into play untapped.
I mean, you do, because like Cloud Post coming into play tapped is a huge thing, but that is... That and Fasufa both coming into play on tap now is huge. Just being an explorer is good, although it is an awkward spot on the curve. Also, another, just kind of slightly off topic, you were talking about the name Spelunking. Can I tell you that I listened to the newest Everyday Eternal this morning, and I look at show notes. Apparently I'm a madman, but I always look at show notes. And
yeah, no one does.
I don't know. They're there for a reason. So you know what? Julian, if you're listening, I appreciate you putting in the effort on your show notes. You guys probably have the best show notes. So go you. And anyways, the show notes said, like, Callum went spelunking. And I was like, oh, snap. What did Callum brew in Legacy? Mm-hmm. And then they were talking about him, like, actually going spelunking in real life. I was like, this is awesome. Such a letdown.
Callum having cool adventures. How lame. Right? Stop touching grass on my podcast.
You get it.
I do get it. I actually do. That's really funny. That's awesome. Yeah, shout out to them. I mean, I'm excited. They're actually, I think, pretty sure Julian is casting Eternal Weekend North America, which will be cool, and I'm excited to. I'm definitely excited to see how some of these cards do pan out. Like, did you see any new cards actually breaking into Legacy or Modern even this past weekend?
Well, other than Spelunking's Molten Collapse was seen play in Scam. So for those that don't know, that is it's a black red sorcery. And it is destroy target, well, choose one, destroy target creature or planeswalker, or destroy target one CMC permanent. It might be one or less.
I think it's non-land
permanent. Yeah, yes, sorry, that part is important. But definitely, it says one. And if you have Descended, which is like very similar to Revolt, then you can do both of those things. So that has been, I saw that popping up in Scam. Obviously Spelunking. I feel like there was some other stuff that I saw, but I can't think of what it would have been. Again, I don't pay that much attention to the new sets. I've seen a lot more talk about the cards in Pioneer, which is not super surprising.
Yeah, I think Pioneer definitely has a bigger impact, but like, you know, not a huge issue, but like, there definitely are some cards that I was hoping we would see. But you know, I think there is definitely a ceiling, but like, there's definitely some cards that like, regardless of what we kind of expect, I'm not expecting them to break out. Like, Saheeli's The Sun's Brilliance would be really cool, but like, I don't know how many people are making tokens. I could imagine the Millennium Calendar actually being a win con in some deck, though. That would not surprise me.
If you're making if you're making 1,000 things to untap with, like you have other ways to win.
Well, yes, but like, I feel like you can. Well, I guess you're right. Yeah, my brain was thinking like Paradox
Engine. So it specifies it only adds the counters if you untap during your untap step.
Yes, but still just doubling it. If you have one, just cast a billion spells and just double it each time, you're still going
to get there. I get what you're saying. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. But, yeah, I mean, I think you're better off playing Emrakul and then having
you're better off playing Emrakul. Painter. And even, like, Ballista or something like that at that point, I think usually we'll get you there as well. Like, you probably don't need the Millennium Calendar.
It would make you cooler, though.
It would make you so much cooler. And also, you could... How about this? How about you play Emrakul and you play the Millennium Calendar? You untap it a billion times, you cast that, and then you pass the turn to yourself with no cards in your library. That sounds sweet.
Yes.
Yeah. Also, was it the... I guess, the, no, actually looking at the calendar, when there are 1,000 more time counters, yeah. So you don't even have to wait till your upkeep. Like, you, assuming you have the counters on it to be to start the chaining, like, you can just keep on tapping it and just kill them on that turn. Assuming 1,000 life does murder them. Which most people can't beat 1,000 life loss, so...
Yeah. 1,000's a lot.
Yeah. It's more than 100.
Wise words from the math teacher.
Mm-hmm. I know we gotta start wrapping up here. There is a modern showcase challenge this weekend, which means we have the legacy one next weekend, which once again, just very happy that we don't have to... I can enjoy all the legacy content I can get my hands on and not have to worry about missing anything. But is there... What's I going to say? How do I phrase this? Is there anything you are... I had words and I lost every single one of them. They had so many words. I just started thinking about... Oh, yeah. Sorry. There we go. I figured it out. What do you think wins the Modern Showcase Challenge this weekend?
I mean, I'm just going to be safe, play by the numbers, and say scam.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair. I think that is... And, like, I always feel bad about saying it, like, week after week. It's like, yeah, I mean, that's probably the best deck. But, like, it's probably the best deck. And I feel like the deck has just gotten better, not worse. So, you know. It is what it is.
Yeah, I would expect Scam to win. I wouldn't be surprised to see, like, Four Color win. I also do think Amulet is, like, very good right now. I know people said... I mean, I talked about this last week, so I'm not going to go into it. But, like, I think the Four Color matchup is good. And I don't care that other people disagree. And I think that the Scam matchup has gotten better. So I think those three decks, all of them are great choices. I assume Hammer is a great choice, but I can't tell if it's actually a great choice or if Travis is actually just better than all of us. And, like, he could be handicapping himself and just, like, yeah. Actually just unstoppable, like, if he played Scam or Four Color. Mm-hmm. But I'm assuming it's a mixture of both. I'm assuming both he and the deck are good.
Yeah. I just imagine him doing, like, the, oh, man, this is a tough challenge. And, like, you know, takes off the weighted jacket and the weighted pants and shoes. And it's like, okay. And then you're like, oh, gosh, he's unstoppable. Oh, man. Yeah, okay. Well, we need to get out of here. Unfortunately, I got to go do dad stuff. But where can people find you?
You can find me at Expedition Map on Twitter. Maybe depending on Billy's schedule on Twitch. And on Blue Sky, where I never post, but I'm there. Just, you know, one day X might finally explode. And then, you know, we all need a new home. So I'm there waiting.
Yeah.
Where can people find you?
You can find me at Bad Luck Bandit on Twitter. If you're interested in finding the show, we're at Depth_podcast on Twitter as well. And once again, thank you. If you have any of your sweet swag, make sure you post that on social media. We just want to check them out. I've seen some pretty cool ones. And I know there's some other people who are awaiting their shipments from the second wave of them coming out. So definitely show them off when you get them. I'm excited to see everybody's stuff. And again, we are going to be at Eternal Weekend. So if you are there, if you see us, we should be hanging around, I think, that Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So definitely, you know, stop by, get some games in, chat about the show, get some tokens. We've actually, I think I said this last week on the part that got cut out, but I did run into a listener at the CEDH event I was at, and, you know, really cool. They were in the process of building their first legacy deck, partially because they listened to our show, which I think is amazing. So, you know, shout out to everybody who is listening and continues to listen. Chris, we love you. I guess with that, I'll see you next week.
See you next week.
All right. right.
Yeah, the Maya taps were green, the CNC's reclaimer. Untapped sack of flags, don't go seek the planes. Then tutor up the stage, so pull out your playbill. Doctor's podcast starring Billy Mitchell and Michael Mapson on the microphone. Dripping in Mox Diamonds, the collector of curtains up on act one of this magic show. Set in a forest so dense it looks decomposed. With red every night's clash against death's shadow. On the legendary lake covered in ice and snow. Underneath the surface looks a lonely evil. An avatar so dark it could cause upheaval. The night lunges forward going for the kill. But death's shadow's too tricky, it just won't sit still. It's stubborn denials compile a stack so thick. The bazooka bug emerges with Gurmag's angling. The night takes a swing at the zombie fishes, but falls submerged for such a distance. Forsaken in the haze of the street rave's fringes, who wanna stuff her out, they don't seek forgiveness. Her final breath draws a deafening silence, a sound so sinister no one could describe it. It's like the subtle cracking of a turtle shell, or the surgical extraction of emerging hell. The shards of ice feel a force of vigor, the looming fear releases growing bigger and bigger, until a demon's fingers linger toward the shadow of death. An all-consuming hush, the land goes swept. The night washes up, frozen on the ice. Dryad arbors thaw her out in the green sun's light. An expedition map suddenly unfurls, revealing Merit Lage has rearranged the world.